What's up? Hey, it's Andrew Allen's weekly show, everybody. Joining us today is Hennessy, aka Baby Butt, aka Hubby Face, aka Schmushball.
Aloha, eh?
Hey.
Aloha, eh?
Andrew, how are you this week?
I'm tired as hell, but I'm having a good time.
All right. You're going to Canada soon, right?
I am.
You excited?
I am. It just dawned on me last night when I was starting to upload the shows and, like, you know, get all the wheels in motion. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm really leaving. I'm really leaving for 3 weeks. Holy shit.
Are you a person who packs, like...
Oh, I'll be packing, but 10 minutes before I have to leave. Yeah.
Do you usually get it right? Because I pack 10 minutes before I leave, and I always forget, like, one major thing, like pants.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll forget things. I'm a... Despite my organization in other areas of my life with travel... I'm real fast and loose, and people around me know that, and they do things for me. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom will send me emails being like, you should be doing this. Not like it's very, very childish. Oh yeah. I've missed flights. Like, I forgot that I had a flight one day. I thought it was another day. So I went on a road trip, and my mom would call me and be like, so are you at the airport? And I'd be like, by the airport, you mean a different city than yes.
Because you got a flight from a different city?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I'm an idiot, actually. Dustin, who's on the show, my baby butt. I know.
I love this.
So
spreading.
Soft.
I love it.
Was talking because he's going to come tomorrow to say goodbye to me and help me get ready to go to the airport. And I was like, yeah, my flight's at 10, so I'll probably leave at like 8:30. And he's like, how about like 7:45 or 7? I could like hear the anxiety in his voice. I'm like, oh God.
Because, oh, well, this is at night, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you won't hit traffic, but yeah, it's a different country. You have to get there like,
yeah, forget about.
Oh my God. That happened with Keith one time.
No shit. I missed a flight to Mexico. One time, the only time I ever missed a flight, I went to a party the night before in Harlem, and I lived in Brooklyn. I was there till, I want to say 4 a.m. And I was like, I'll just stay up and pack and then go to the airport.
That's pretty much all the time I stay up and then.
Sure, because I don't want to roll the dice, but I close my eyes for 1 second and obviously I slept through it. I woke up when the flight was taking off. Mm. I took a car anyways because I was like, maybe there's a delay.
Oh, okay.
Right?
There's no like way to check.
Exactly. Well,
standby.
Sure. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So I show up. And I'm like still drunk, and the guy behind the counter was like, your flight is already leaving. I can't. Like, what are you saying? And it's on New Year's Eve because my birthday is on New Year's Eve.
But take a chance.
But take a chance. Sure. And
no one else is trying to do this.
No. And then he's like, okay, since it is your birthday, I will reschedule your flight for tomorrow morning. And he was like, what? There's an earlier one or a later one. And he's like, which one do you want? I'm like, oh, let's do the earlier one.
He looked at me, right.
And he was like, are you sure about that? And I'm like, you know what? Indian guy behind the counter who doesn't know me, you do know me. Put the later one.
Yeah. Did you make it?
Just made it.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I just want to, I like the risk.
Well, Indian people are very in tune with others.
He got my chakra.
Did you go out that night? It was New Year's Eve. It was your birthday?
No, I didn't. Not that night.
Oh, okay.
I was so hungover from the night before.
That's why you drink at the airport.
Yeah. So,
but that happens with baby, but I'm just like, you are up right now. Mm-hmm. So if you put your head down, he's like, I'm just going to sleep for 10 minutes. I'm like, when did that ever work?
When
you think I'm up is a thing.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's talking to me in his sleep.
That's
and I'm
true.
Like, hey, what do you think about these numbers that I crunched for? And he's like, oh yeah, I love them. I've reviewed them carefully.
Let's do it twice.
Well, that's the thing. I don't have a lot of the times I haven't had a hamda to tell me that I'm sleeping to get up and whatever. So.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. When hamda has a flight, mm-hmm. I'm the one that buys the tickets, uh-huh. reminds her, puts it in the calendar, gives her updates, packs her bags, gets her to the airport, calls the cab.
Here. Makes her
and
coffee.
Sends her on her way, gives her a pep talk beforehand because it's very overwhelming, hides the weed in her bag, lies to her about it because that's the only thing I can let her about.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And ships her on her way. So I would like you to retract that.
I will.
Statement.
I will.
Thank you very much.
Hennessy.
I'm going somewhere for Christmas and I use my wife's planner to break down packing. So within 3 months, I will have a suitcase ready to go.
A sock
not even
a day.
Joking. That's what you got to do.
Today's socks and underwear. I forget what next week is.
Do you know, like, there are people who will pack a week or more before. And
what
I,
the fuck?
I don't know how much clothing do you have?
It's getting moldy in your suitcase.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Like, how do you have, let's say it's summer here and it's summer where you're going.
Right.
Don't you have like three, like if you think about
three
it.
Three outfits. You know what yeah.
I
mean?
I think it's because they're really excited to go. And packing a week early yeah. is just like, I get to like, and I then I get to look at my thing and yeah. it's like, I'm all packed. And it's like, it's coming. You know, I think people just want to extend it because I doubt they're packing a week early coming home.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
my mom's one of these hyper organized people. She's like, I like to get to the airport 4 hours in advance. I'm like, what are you doing in there?
Right. Oh, I can learn
45 minutes before, run through. Wonder if you're going to make it.
Yeah, my friend.
Always make it.
My friend, like sometimes friends sleep over before they go to the airport because we're closer or something. And they're like, if I have to be there at 7 a.m., do you think leaving? What time do you think leaving? And I'm like, I don't know, leave at 5. And they're like, wait, why are we asking you? Mm-hmm. You're the one who runs across the airport. And I'm like, I don't know, but that's my opinion.
Yeah. I just say take Hemda's algorithm and subtract 2.
Add 2 hours.
Right. That's what I meant.
Yes.
Subtract 2 from your worries.
Bottoms up from the down up. Thank you. Subtract add. I
understand. You get it.
I'm an Indian guy. I'm reading your.
Actually, Libby always got it.
Yeah.
She always got it.
She was in tune. Libby, I bet you Libby gets to the airport 10 hours early. I bet you Libby's there the day before.
I bet you she never missed a flight.
Yeah. Libby's there now for you.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, she set alarms on her phone to remind you.
Yeah.
She's in the front of the line. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. There you are, Andrea.
I love annoying Libby. It is the best thing in the world.
Oh, I need it.
It's my favorite.
It's the only reason why I have friends.
It's just to, because Libby's got her shit so together, and I'm impressed by it. But every once in a while, I will get a ride of just acting like an idiot and watching her gears just like, you know, cramp up like, can't handle.
Like how
you're
so?
A shit stirrer.
I like to act like her bangs aren't straight.
Oh, nice.
I like your diagonal style today. And she's like, what?
Oh, you did like a wave.
I'll just say something dumb. Like Libby will be trying to get everything together. I'll be like, oh, I just need to go get it. Like I'll act more chill to piss her off. Cause what I know she's trying to, I love it. I don't know. Cause she's so wound up. I love it.
No, because Andrea's everyone's like,
party
friend. Older sister. I want to say little sister, but she's like everyone's older sister. That's just like, you know, just a little. I'm gonna fuck with you.
And does this bother
Xerxes
you?
Xerxes does it too. I'm not the only person.
Oh no, he's everyone's little sister.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, then this is the best. Oh, can I describe it?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's not best. Like I don't want to fuck with her work life. It's just on a personal level. I like to just poke Libby.
Oh, I'm different. I delete her email.
Sure.
Oh my god, I'm sure she thinks you do.
Or ask her the same questions she answers on it.
Do not even.
Oh,
but
the best.
Wait, what was that? Where was I going?
You were saying how scared you are of Libby.
Oh, so Xerxes and Libby get in a room, and I feel like they're, because Xerxes is like, what is time? And she's like, the thing that you have to be
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Right. You counteract her vibe.
So them talking is the best, because she knows, like, they both are like, you're ridiculous, and it's like from love completely.
Yeah.
And they just talk to each other like you are completely ridiculous, and everything coming out of your face is kind of dumb, but they're so gentle and warm with each other that I eat popcorn. I just watch it. It's so funny.
Oh yeah. I remember when I first talked to Xerxes, we're obviously stoned, and I was like, sometimes I like to mess with Libby. And he was like, me too. And it was this beautiful moment. I think
Libby's at home going, you know, I'm messing with you guys, right? You guys don't know what you're doing.
It's a beautiful, it's a, you know, yin and yang. But the first time I did it was at the creek in the cave. And I kept giving Libby the Shooter McGavins because I was really high. And there was something about it that was really bothering her. So I could like hide behind something, then I'd jump out and do it. And she'd get even more mad every time. And I'm like, this is the best.
I try to stay out of her way. Like,
oh, I don't.
I try not to.
I don't.
You know, get on her nerves. Because I feel like I just do that naturally.
For me, it's different. Like some days we'll just like scream match at each other. And it's like the best screaming match I've ever had. Because like...
Oh, it's fun. Because I think she's enjoying it.
Oh, no, we're roasting each other completely. Yeah. She'll be like, well, if you weren't such an idiot and didn't read my email. And I was like, well, if you didn't write me some fucking 3-page email thing. And she's like, well, that's how many things in it. And I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, it's fun. It's real fun. Libby Phillips, organized bitch.
Why is that fun? I go, hey, I like your dress. I mean, if you want, you know, I just try to.
Well, because I I rely on her being honest.
Libby
and it's
wears
the best.
Awesome dresses. Yeah, she's got her shit together, man. Like, she'll come over sometimes and I'm like, oh my God, Libby, you look so good today. And she's like, I literally wore the trashiest, most comfortable thing I could find. Mm-hmm. You like everything that's in my trash pile, but that I just keep wearing anyway.
It's like, true. She actually knows when she comes over, we're like, oh my God, we love the way you look today. She's like, you guys are the worst. And like,
it was a test. I'm deliberately looking horrible, you idiots.
It's no, funny. She just got good style. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we do like her. Like, we will comment when she specifically didn't do her hair or didn't do whatever. And we're like, oh, you look really funky cute today. And she's like, you guys have the worst taste. Everything you tell me is like completely the opposite of what is actually true. And we're like, we mean it. She's like, I know, you're gross.
When I see Libby in jeans, I'm always like, what's happening right now?
Oh, I know.
It's like somebody cutting off all their hair.
Yeah.
You want to say
something? Something's weird, but I can't quite understand.
It's more like seeing your teacher outside of school.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Jeans and like a cardigan. And I'm like, you look great, but I feel like I just had a stroke and I don't know what's happening exactly. I love it.
It's like me in a dress. Mm-hmm.
I used to see I went to Jewish school and I would see like a rabbi at the McDonald's by the school. And I'm like, and the rabbis are teachers, you know? And I'm just like, didn't you bother somebody about not wearing their yarmulke earlier today? Mm-hmm. We would just, if there were phones, you would see a whole bunch of kids like, you know, doing that thing where you magnify it so they could take pictures of them.
Oh, yeah,
because we would report, we would come to school the next day and be like, ooh, I saw Rabbi Shapiro at the McDonald's. Oh, I saw him too. And he was like the most rabbi. We had to learn like, from him, we had to learn not just the Bible, but interpretations of the Bible by other people. Oh, he was one of those teachers where
it's like, buzzkill.
The cow, somebody else's cow went into your field. And according to the law, according to Jewish law, that is your cow now. But what if there's this extra element? Let's talk about it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So Libby's the Rabbi Schmutzman or whatever you said of our group.
Libby doesn't let you use the dots. You know what I mean?
Can I be the yarmulke?
Oh, yes.
The vowels.
Always.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now look, I learned this about you.
What?
It's not all Libby hour. Mm-hmm. Poor thing. She doesn't know what happened.
I love her. It's all a compliment.
Do you want to tell us? Or do you want us to tell you?
Please tell me.
You love diners.
I do. Oh, I love them.
My sister does too. I don't get it.
I do too.
I don't get it.
He loves it. And we live like a block away from a diner.
The best one, Court Square Diner.
Thanks, Andrea.
Oh, I love it.
That's good.
I mean, we live next to like four. So yeah, sure. Pick Court Square or Mike's or whatever the fuck. Oh, sorry. I'll stop naming diners that we live next to.
Go to the subway. Take a look. No.
Right. So anyway, when we found out we were about to move next to a diner, that was like the biggest selling point for him. He's like, oh my God, I love diner coffee. I love diner everything. And I'm just like, we're not becoming a diner family. Just FYI.
I've always been a diner family.
I'm a diner family.
You married into a diner family. But real diners, not diner themed restaurants. Sure. Like I worked at Ellen's. I worked at Big Daddy's. I'm not talking about those. Those aren't diners. Mm-mm. Okay.
People.
They're, no.
You want where they're scratching their ass and then dipping their finger in your soda. I get what you're talking about. You're talking about a shithole.
Yeah.
Is it the atmosphere?
It's the atmosphere. It's the history. It's the buildings that are used. It's the
bad attitude.
The people that work there for years. It's the shitty coffee. It's the delicious potatoes. It's everything. It's the mugs. Those fucking like ceramic mugs and the yellow glasses with the water and the bumps on the bottom of the glass and the little milk packets. And you drink them before the coffee comes and it makes you real thirsty.
By the way, those yellow glasses. When they bought them,
that's
they were
clear. That's my urine. That's fine. And that's why I like it.
And they're all broken in from me.
Well, I like it. It's the environment. A diner to me feels like it's not real life. Like it feels like I'm going to a fantasy world.
You're taking a break in between dimensions.
Yes. I honestly feel like they're in different dimensions because you order this. If the food's not great. No, but it's like
the bar from Star Wars with all the different aliens inside. This is where everyone takes a break from war.
It's the best. You do stand up super late at night. You go out to a diner. You can eat pancakes at 2 a.m. and see all these fucking weirdos. It's just, I love it.
There are some times where I am about to pass that diner and I specifically don't look in the window because there's always comics in there and I'm just like, can't see you, we can't hang, I'm not saying hi, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, there's comics, there's always...
I always wave.
There's funny, like, drunk people. I also like to write in diners because it's a great... You do stand up, you're kind of like, the wheels are turning. No, nothing is open. except for diners. So you go there, you can kind of look at people, you have your own space, you can order the shitty food. It's also cheap. I don't know.
I get to know you.
I just love it. I feel like
take a little writing break, watch a little domestic abuse, then right back to work.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, yeah, it's like, okay.
What diners are you going to, bro?
Please.
Oh my God.
The Kellogg's diner is a little sketchy. I see fights in there. Oh, drunk people are crying sometimes. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Kellogg's diner
is the worst.
I can't believe you even go there.
It's so bad. It's crazy. I saw a cockroach running along the floor once and I was like, oh, that's nice. I'll have another order.
Yeah, that's where it starts at Kellogg's.
But I don't like, the food is just, you order eggs or you order fries.
You're not ordering the salmon.
Yeah, you're not ordering good food there. But I do love that they do have like seafood on the menu. Like, who's ordering the like cod fillet? Like, I need to know. They'll
have like lobster and steak and lobster.
Where are you getting it from? I think what it is like, my house.
The menus are 47 pages long.
They're all giant and laminated. Everything's so tacky. I love it. When I was growing up, my family's house was, our food was really good. We weren't allowed junk food, very like put together household. My mom's brother's house, my uncle's wife was a hoarder and their house was this crazy place.
Like TV hoarder?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so there's junk food like everywhere.
Cat chips.
Yeah. Cats, chips, like weird dogs in the backyard. Everyone's watching TV all hours of the day. And I wasn't allowed to go there that often, but I loved going there because there's no rules.
Trash.
Yeah. You can eat junk food at 2 a.m. There's no bedtime. Like, it's not a way to live
your
life.
There's no bed.
Yeah. But I like the mayhem of it. I think diners scratch that itch for me.
You're so, the dichotomy of this, because you're such a neat freak.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't, and I hate to insult you, don't fully know when people walk in here lately, they're like, whoa, this place looks nice. And I'm like, I'm not certain. I know it's you and I know that we did something, but I'm not certain what they're saying. Like, I won't see.
Well, you're used to it. You're seeing the changes gradually. So yeah.
But even you walked in and you said, so what's different?
I haven't been here in a few weeks.
Yeah. So is it clearer? Well,
the lighting is different. It's a lot warmer. I mean, not at the moment because you have the crazy white CFL lights on. But this track lighting you put in, when I walked in, it was on. Very warm.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it brings out just like nice things about the studio.
We got rid of that, the beautiful art collage.
I enjoyed that.
Oh my God, so stupid.
I did that.
I'm so sorry. That was so stupid.
Let's fill people in. Now, the foam was falling down behind Hemda. Hemda got nervous and started cutting up the foam.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Hold on. This giant foam is one piece and it fell off. And Mike Kaplan just came in to record a show that I was supposed to record, or he was coming in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And in order to put this back on by myself, it's so heavy. And I didn't know where the staple gun was
available at a hardware store 20 minutes from the studio.
So it was hard to put up by myself. So I was like, okay, if I cut it, it won't weigh, and I'll just put the pieces up. And then once I did that, I was like, that's so me. I'm not one block of square.
Yes.
I'm a bunch of mismatched shape. And I thought it was beautiful.
So it's terrible. And there's all these little triangles and rhombuses. So she sticks it back up with this, you know, this tape. And then Hennessy sees it. And as a favor, staples these stupid shapes into the wall.
Well, because he's like, oh, she put them up, but they're kind of falling off a little. So he was like, oh, I'm sure she meant to, you know.
I found the staple gun.
I did not find the staple gun. I get the vibe you're going for, but it looked like an insane asylum. And it needs to be, I think it's just, things are a little more uniform now.
They are. Here's the thing.
That's what it is.
I thought it was also very telling. Keats was like a very organized block behind him. And I'm like, you know, this mismatched stuff, but it's still soundproof. You know what I mean?
No one's reading behind the lines on the weird triangles.
Yeah, it looks like a child did it.
What do you think?
Keeps your house beautiful.
That's true.
So he knows.
Thank you.
He knows that those fucking ridiculous.
I do. No, it was ridiculous. I thought it was a temporary solution. I was just like, they can't fall down because it looks even shittier.
Yes, thank you.
So I stapled them up there.
Yes.
I was going to fix it, but then Andrea came along and I was like, fuck it.
Yes, I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the craziest thing you've seen in a diner? You ever see a mob boss?
Maybe. potentially. I'm not sure if there's mob
always
bosses.
Someone there, right?
There's
that could be a mob boss.
Someone weird. But there is one called the Lindenwood Diner that I like to go to every so often.
Oh, it's, yeah, we live a block away from there.
Yeah, in East New York. You also live a block away from Kellogg's Diner. You guys are always a block away from every diner I'm at.
Totally.
It's actually a, so I came to know about it because it was a, it's a comedy show and it's every Thursday.
In the diner?
In the diner.
Okay.
And it's like a, it's an urban room if you want to be PC, or a room for like primarily black comics, mm-hmm. however you want to say it. But you can
there's
go
lots of coloreds there, you're saying?
Sure, yes.
Okay.
Nope, we can't even joke like that.
I want to be still clear. Learning? No. Hennessy, it's not however you want to say it.
No.
Even though that's what Andrew said. Yeah.
Okay. However you want to...
No shit. That's the point I was making. Remember earlier when I talked about jokes landing or not landing? Mm-hmm. Well, that one didn't, and I'm sorry.
Forgiven.
Libby got it.
It's for the blacks, as I was saying.
We could move forward from this. Okay.
You can go backs.
But... You can just go to the show. A friend of mine who does these urban rooms, you can go to the show and just ask the host to get up, and often he'll let you, which is really nice.
No matter who, even if you don't know the person?
Yes.
Oh.
And I've done this before. There's a room called the Mocha Lounge way uptown where I did this. Like, they're just, it's a more rambunctious show, and they're happy to like throw someone up.
Cause fuck you, if you fail,
if you
it'll
fail,
be funny.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Like, it's traditionally they're higher heckling. You have to like really have confidence and energy because the crowd, if they're with you, they're going to be with you. But if you go up there like a pussy,
it's like a mini Apollo.
It is. It's very fun. Much exactly that. So most urban rooms are typically like that, but this one,
that's a great idea. You think you're good enough? Go for it.
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's awesome.
It's great. And like, I don't know, I try to go into different rooms as much as I can to deal with different audience members, different energy. If you keep just doing Brooklyn rooms and repeating the same people's perspective back at them, you're not really developing. So I like to go to these rooms when I can, but this diner is in East New York. It's really, really far away. It's kind of a little bit dangerous to go by yourself if you're like a female.
It's one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in New York currently.
I would say so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also like 15 minutes walk from the train. You have to like walk through a weird field and like along the highway. It's very mystical. And you get there and it looks like a 50s diner. It's lit up. It's got a parking lot. It's in the middle of nowhere, though. So it's like kind of destitute area. And then this like beautifully lit beacon.
Which is weird for like an urban space in New York, because every urban space, and I just mean because we're a city.
Yeah.
There's no room for diners
with parking lots. I know. Like,
there's that doesn't have the parking lot by the diner by our house, you know, Kellogg's. Mm-hmm. So they don't have a parking lot, but they have cars that deliver, and they literally, do you see it? They park the delivery car on the sidewalk.
I mean, I'm sure there used to be a parking lot before the neighborhood became popular.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, you know, you're right in Manhattan and just outside, like there's no room for parking lots. That's very strange.
That's why East New York is able to have one, because people aren't trying to go there.
Yeah.
And unless you're a comic.
Unless
or a clown.
Unless you're a weird Canadian wandering through the night to go do stand-up.
It just seems really far away.
It is really far away.
It is. It takes like at least an hour. But I don't know. I just like it. It's so crazy in there. Like, there's all these cakes on display. It very much looks like a 50s diner. But then there's a back room that's packed. The show is always packed.
I want to go.
Which is fucking cool. Yeah. Like, what other room can you go that's packed and you can be like, hey, can you just put me on? And they're so nice. But I found out later this diner has like a lot of history. So one of the most notorious things about it is that John Gotti used to use it as his like meeting spot to have all his like crime meetings, I guess.
That is officially what they call it. Yeah. Oh, let's have a crime meeting at 2 p.m. at the diner.
Yes.
You know which one. The one a block away from the Hennessy's.
Right. No, I don't think there's any. Actually, there probably are crime meetings at Court Square. Definitely at Neptune Diner. There is...
on 47th Street, 28, 16, 47th Street, 3L.
Triangulate these diners and you'll find out where the Hennessy's live. but he had like a table there that was reserved for him and the
only the best.
Yeah. And then the FBI started bugging that diner for months to try to gain enough intel about what he was doing to catch him for tax evasion, which is what they eventually arrested him
for.
Well,
they were trying to catch him for crime, but they ended up with tax evasion.
That's the only thing I could get him on. So they busted into this diner with fucking guns. The FBI took him out, and then that's where they arrested him. And then when they're going through the tapes of his conversations throughout the weeks, they found out that there's bodies buried around the diner. Like, he made comments about the lot next door. They were developing the lot next door. They had to stop developing it and start digging. And
this is why we can't have parking lots.
Yeah. So it's just
that's
like,
where the roaches are coming from.
Exactly. All the dead bodies. So it's, I don't know. I think it's cool. There's a lot of New York City history there. I do. I don't know. It's like the underworld, but there's cake. You know, like, why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah, I like it too.
It's so fun.
Everything about it.
It's just, there's something about it. You've got to admit there's something
absolutely of
interesting
course.
About it.
Yeah, like, people watch crime shows. Now you're sitting in the diner where they're going to watch the crime show.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an energy.
And then you're doing stand-up and people are screaming and throwing things. Like, it's just very exciting.
We were at that... Where's the place on the Lower East Side? Sammy's mm-hmm. Steakhouse. Hemda and I were there. And there was I can't think of the guy's name, but he's the real deal. Oh. And he was a mob boss. Mm-hmm. And there was a big table. There's his conseiller on mm-hmm. his right side whispering things in his ear. I mean, mm-hmm. You can pick out who's who based on the Godfather movie. And
someone playing a squeeze box.
Right. And the mob boss was very impressed with Hemda's looks and went out of his way.
Why don't I remember these things? I should.
Went out of his way to give me a fist pound as if to say congratulations. And I'm like, you're a fucking murderer. All right.
Right. That's another thing that has started happening since I've been presenting more mail. Guys will be like, hey, good job, bro. Ah.
Yeah.
They used to just hit on her right in front of me. Right.
You
now they're telling me
thing,
good job, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally got a high five the other day. And I'm like, this is really disrespectful. You know, wink, wink.
But like,
I still high fived him.
So here's the thing. All the sexist stuff comes up because that's not a good thing. I don't need you high fiving other people. That's disgusting. And I don't like that person because of the way he's looking at me and all the shit. And normally he would be crazy anti against it. But it's like, go get your meal, you know.
Right. Can't help it. I'm a dude. Yeah.
No, it's not even like, I'm really not trying to like play into this mm-hmm. anything. I don't know how to, you know, balance it.
You probably
it
need to learn how to navigate it.
It's but like also, it was news. Very funny because we usually get heckled. That's mm-hmm. true. I need to learn how to navigate it. Mm-hmm. But we usually get heckled. And I was doing it also just to kind of pick on Hemda. Like, yo, bro, what's up? Thank you, cuz. You know, just because it's like, we're not in a dangerous situation anymore. And it's just stupid and fun to play with. And it's so fucking exhausting to be like a fucking, like, feminist queer all the time. You know?
It used to get heckled when people were thinking you were a lesbian couple. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. Either I'd get ignored and people would just like try to get her number right in front of me or
love it.
Or we would
love it.
We would both, you know, we'd be invited to kiss again or, you know, get a room or not in front of kids or that's a shame.
Yeah. Me and Emily are together often, and eventually a man will always ask us, since we're such good friends, have you guys had sex yet? I'm like, yes, of course. That's a question that you ask of every pair of friends.
We should ask
female friends.
We should ask Keith every time he gains a new best friend. Have you and Josh Accardo fucked yet?
Yeah, sure.
We call each other at 2 a.m. It's kind of weird.
Did you two smash boxes? Thank you so much, Jason Burke, for that question. Appreciate it.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. And I know my pussy does look wet, and thank you for telling me that.
I'm sorry. What?
Just, you can tell by somebody's face sometimes if it's dripping.
Sure, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. it looks like this. It looks like...
Right? Ugh.
That's the wet pussy. Mm-hmm.
The tightness of the skin tells you that it's a good pussy. There's many ways.
Do you feel...
my friend Jason Burke.
Do you feel the need to tell Dustin about, like, these interactions with people?
I do tell him.
Yeah. Because I tell him because if it would... Jason hasn't done anything like that to me. But if it is Jason who did that to me, I feel like Hennessy should know because...
So I don't bring Jason over on Friday night. I become best friends with him and pay for his car that someone dinged?
Yes. Yes.
I do tell Dustin, if people are hitting on me in a funny way, like if someone sends me a message, like I got a message a few days ago from some stranger, like, let's fuck. And I'm like, I don't even, that's hilarious. I'll screenshot it and send it because it's so funny. But I have to be wary because I don't want to, it happens so often, not to brag.
Well, let's fuck. I mean, you know.
Sure. There all will always be something. I'll try to not tell him all the time because I feel like, I don't know, someone tried to hit on you today again. If it's someone I know or if it's a story of note or it's funny, I'll tell him. But I also feel like it's, I don't know.
We know it's happening all the time. We know it's happening.
They don't make a mop emoji, do they? That'd be a good one. Let me guess how you're doing. Mop emoji.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I don't want to, I don't know. I don't, it seems, I braggadocious? Is that a weird way to feel about it? I don't want to be like, everyone's trying to fuck me every day, just
it's
so you
sad.
Know.
It's just,
yeah.
That's the thing. What story are you going to tell that's going to sound like bragging? You literally took a screenshot of let's fuck.
Sure.
There's no like, oh, Andrea, you know, no one's sending me shit like that.
Does Kat ever tell you? Well, Kat doesn't really operate in the comedy world, so she's not surrounded with these.
She's so focused on her business that she's oblivious to a lot that's going on around her.
Or she just chooses to, like, she knows it's happening but chooses to completely disengage from it.
I don't know if she knows or not,
really.
I feel like she doesn't concern herself with things that she doesn't want to occupy her brain space,
right?
And she can just, it's like a superpower. She's just like evolved in that way. She can just turn it off. So it's like anyone tries to hit on, it's just a shield. It bounces right off. Right. Like,
I need this fucking shield.
I need it too.
Yeah.
Are you, does it ever concern you, like, maybe she should be aware? Like, because I had
she never fell in a manhole or nothing.
No, I mean, like, I had to be just aware that people are hitting on me because I tend to
say
be warm.
Again.
I had to be aware that people are hitting on me because I tend to be warm and friendly. And right. Then, like, I'm
she's cold
helping
as ice.
Them.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, she's like Emily.
Yeah.
Emily's the same way.
Well,
Emily Lubin. Cold as ice.
I know what she's saying because Kat's business is like, it's not talking, it's not, all of your business is being nice to each other and
networking
and trying
around.
To get this thing and like, but we want to be friends, but we also want to be able to like use each other. So let's go for drinks, you know, and we can write lunch off and stuff. And I feel like,
and making each other laugh.
When Kat is getting together with her colleagues, it's like, we know what we're talking about. You know, we're not trying to like, you know,
we're
get in each other's personality
line.
And like, you know, do all this psychology in order to whatever, you know, but
yeah, I
that's
feel
how
like
we picture your wife's life. She's just so put together that nothing bad
I know.
Can even penetrate.
But no, but she, I see her stuff, man, she's got her projects and she's so committed and I can just see her running meetings and just being like, okay, and now we're done. We don't have to waste any more time. Peace. I'm going home to my husband. I'm going to see my pups.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. When I was working in
no bullshit
corporate world or not comedy, this never happened to me.
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah. I stuff shit like that never happens,
I mean,
to me when I'm working in a job.
It does happen. There are sexual harassment, but
sure,
maybe it's not like people aren't as constant and casual because it's such a friendly atmosphere. You're just what I'm just saying, like,
Well, like for example, with Jason Burr, I do like Jason. I think he was a little drunk and was trying to push the line a little bit. Was sexually as half a joke, half putting it out there.
It's always that.
Sure. And I can't fault him entirely because maybe he thought I was interested, but after a certain amount of drinks and certain amount of like polite sort of redirects for me, he should know that it's not going anywhere. But it's also like, well, now that you're subjecting me to this, I am just going to egg you on a little bit to watch you act like a fucking idiot. And maybe that's my, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
like
know.
Like egg on how?
Like, hey, Andrew, like, what's like up, I want to fuck you. Keep trying it. No, I'm kidding.
I showed her, I picked up my dress and I went, it's not overly wet. Uh-huh. Like a crazy person.
It's just a little creamy.
Like we're joking around a little bit. Like he'll be like, you seem like you have the wettest pussy ever. I would not say that.
It's hilarious
to anyone.
He must be a comedian.
And so, but I'll to deflect it. I'll be like, oh yeah, it's soaking hot. You know what I mean? Because what do I say if I was to respond to that normally? I would be like, excuse me.
You're like, That's embarrassing, and you should be embarrassed.
Yeah, but it's a party, and he's a comedian, and I like him on some levels, and I wanted to make it more comfortable. And I can't freak out over everything. So either I can...
Fuck him.
Fuck. I go to the bathroom and I fuck him just to get it over with.
So
and
shut him up.
To be clear, Jason, I don't like you like that, but I wanted to end this. But he was also so drunk by the end of it that.
How are you encouraging him a little?
No, I don't think. I think me and Emily are playing with him because he's GD ridiculous at this point, talking about how our faces look like we have great pussies and do we ever fuck.
Right. He's a cartoon.
Yeah. And so I'm like, you're goofy as hell. Oh, yeah. We're always fucking all the time. Okay. You know?
Did he say whose pussy looks whiter?
Apparently.
Oh, my God.
So the word is that I don't seem like I like sucking dick as much as Emily does.
Okay.
So, I mean.
I didn't know we got that deep.
Yeah. He did do an assessment as the dick suck analyzer, and it does turn out that Emily seems like she sucks dick a little bit more than me, but I told him and another guy, we were talking about that alley incident. I was talking about the blowjob in the alley incident, and he was like, that's really sad that man ruined blowjobs for you forever.
Oh my God.
Because I can use one.
Exactly, which is implied that, like, I'll fix you.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And I'm like, yes, what very gentlemen. Good.
Let's go out now, find a dumpster.
Uh-huh.
Immersion therapy.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
But I don't know. I'm joking with you, kind of. To make it less insane. And also, I am kind of amused by you.
Time out. He seems to, every week we talk about a different dude.
Sure.
This one seems to get a slight pass more than others. Am I right?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because I'm joking around with him a little bit. So, but I don't know. I'm joking as like a coping mechanism to deal with how ridiculous the situation is. I'm also amused by it slightly.
Mm.
So I don't know. I don't know.
I think that women have to make this decision all the time. And women in this business have to make this decision all the time. And I had to make it as a waiter a lot, you know? Like, oh, this guy is hitting on me. Like, do I just laugh it off and say something sexual back to just be like, hey, me too. I can, you know, and or do I, you know, say something really unsexy, or do I whatever, just because I don't want to be this comfortable with my colleague. So it's like, if you don't beat them, join them, because you can't beat them, because they'll keep coming at you with it. So it puts you a little bit more in control. And this guy sounds like a cartoon, and like he'll never get any.
He gets plenty.
You know the character Eli on Bitch in Apartment 23? Eli, the pervert across the window, that's who he reminds me of.
Oh, really?
Which in the show, it's funny. So I see how it's funny, but in real life would be very scary and weird.
Well, I like him as a person. I really genuinely do. I think that he is attractive and probably gets laid often. And this probably works, I would assume. Of course it works. If someone's interested back.
Do you think it's funnier because he is not as...
He's not... I don't feel as if he would ever do anything. Do you know? Like with the other creeps...
You feel safer with him.
I do. I'm just like, ugh, behave.
Like he's a lot of talk.
Yeah. You're and he also down, likes a rise out of you probably.
You're saying deep down he's a pussy. And I dare him to try.
Do you think deep down if you weren't so amused and you were like, all right, Jason, that he would
immediately stop.
Okay. So you think that like your participation encouraged it. So you don't want to completely fault him 100%, but he shouldn't have started that way. And also you're taking into account that he's drunk. And also you kind of like him as a human. These other people, you didn't so much. They started from a negative.
Wow. Exactly. He's not thinking about you that much, Garen.
I know.
I don't give a fuck.
I mean, I think he's still thinking about me because he's liking my stuff and what I think. But also, the only thing that bothered me, the thing that bothered me the most about the whole thing was maybe when he made a reference to my boyfriend.
So he was aware.
Earlier on.
Oh, I'm getting jealous for him.
So, well, because... I don't know if he knows that I have a boyfriend. I think he might because there's like stuff online that I do. I'm not
You're
sure.
Pretty subtle about that.
I'm not advertising all the time that I'm dating someone. But
I don't know that I would know based on your social presence, your social media.
Yeah,
presence.
Yeah, I agree.
I still don't know.
Yeah,
and I met him
a few days ago. So, but he said he mentioned blah, 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 your boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember the sentence. And I was like,
oh, that was to see if you were.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, if you do think I have a boyfriend, are you saying this to
gauge,
see how I react? Like, do I make fun of my boyfriend in front of you to mm-hmm. show that I don't really care about my boyfriend, or I might cheat on him or whatever?
This is why it's good that you're part guy.
Well, because I know, see this bullshit. I know what he's, I feel like you're laying a little bit of a trap there to see how I react. And then I don't really say anything because I don't want to talk about my boyfriend right now with you. And then you continue. So you do know that I'm with someone. I don't know. It just felt a little odd. Manipulative.
Jason, stop it. Just stop it. We like you. Stop being a humpy dog.
Have you spoken since?
He messaged me. He messaged me because he was embarrassed about falling asleep. Because once he realized,
while he was masturbating to you?
Well, once he realized that it wasn't going to happen, like, he was really, I think he was having fun and being playful with us, but I think he was maybe expecting to go home with me or just seeing if perhaps it could happen. And then once he realized that it really wasn't going to, he was also pretty drunk at this point. He was sitting next to me and Emily listening to our conversation and then falling asleep.
Is that a turn on?
Yeah, I love it. Takes me back to the old days.
Well, his penis isn't keeping him up.
No.
Do you know, in Canada, is there more catcalling, less? Is it the same?
Oh, never.
Not really. At all.
Yeah. This is an entirely new phenomenon for me.
Me too. For me too.
Yeah.
He grew up in an island. Like, when we go there, everywhere is by the beach. So everywhere, right, people are naked. They're like naked.
And that's why.
Yeah, you'll be in the supermarket, they're in a bikini, like, no big deal.
Yeah.
And no one's saying anything, no one's like elbowing, like, no one, like, legitimately no one's responding. They're
rude.
Not stopping themselves from responding, not even for rudeness.
Not because it's rude, because they've grown up with the human form and they don't think of it as like, ugh, gross, or ooh, sexy, because they just see the human body all the time, so they have a healthy relationship with their bodies.
They also don't have to disrobe. So here you get like, oh, it's summertime, and then men lose their mind, you know.
I don't think that's it. I don't think we're talking about disrobing.
Oh, it abso-fucking-lutely is.
I don't know.
Yes, it is. It's, well, summer all the time in Hawaii. You see naked bodies all the time. You become like realistic with it. Here, you have all winter. But here in New York, they call it skirt season. You have all winter.
Pigs.
Yes,
actually, they call it cleavage.
I'm not giving this
but
disrobing.
But you can't deny that the disrobing thing, that's exactly what it is. As soon as winter ends, all the guys are like,
of course, I know that.
I've got the videos to prove it. And they're all at the beginning of the summer.
And they're
of men fucking coming at us.
I agree with that. But I don't think that's an excuse, or I don't think that.
No, it just amplifies.
It does amplify.
It happens all year round.
Sure.
There's a moment in summer, and it's not even like, maybe it won't amplify towards us, but it amplifies on some social media. Like, they'll start talking about
sure,
it.
Sure, about, yeah. Yeah,
it does amplify
seeing
around
more
us.
Body parts, but I guess, like, in Vancouver, there's still sexism there, of course. There's still racism and, you know, misogynists and all this stuff. It's a little bit more hidden and subtle, and I didn't really understand that it was happening until I came here, and then I go back there and I see it more. But it's much less extreme, and it's a fear of being rude above all.
That's
stops
good.
Canadians from ever yelling at someone on the street. I wouldn't even, the first time it happened to me, I was like, what? Is there something on me? Am I on fire? Like, what? What? Yeah. You know, it's just like culturally unacceptable to behave that way towards other people, just out of, it's not a sex thing. It's just like a human being across the board. We don't yell at people. I mean, they fight. I'm not saying Canada's this like ideal, wonderful land of everything's great. It's just.
But if it is, it is.
Culturally, that's a big no-no.
All right.
Oh, see, in Hawaii, we fight for fun.
You guys are walking around naked in grocery stores. I don't know what you guys are
scrapping.
So just so you don't get homesick, listeners could tweet at you, hey, pretty, pretty, looking good, that kind of thing. And that's it. Don't forget to dry off your seat when you're done. And what's up, A?